It's always a privilege to be able to share what the Lord has laid on my heart with each and every one of you. I know there's a lot of times there's an opportunity to compromise, you know, the things around about us. But you know, I was reminded of Elijah and him being anointed by God through Elijah. So if you will, turn me to 1 Kings chapter 19 and verse 19. Here we see in verse 19, it says, "So he departed thence and found Elijah the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he with the 12th. And Elijah passed by and cast his mantle upon him. And he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, 'Let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and mother, and then I will follow thee.' And he said unto him, 'Go back again, for what have I done to thee?' And he returned back from him and took his yoke of ox, slew them, and bore their flesh with instruments of the ox, and gave unto the people, and they did eat. Then he arose and went after Elijah and ministered unto him." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. We praise you tonight, Father. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity, Lord, of brushing up against us, Lord. Lord, calling us and choosing us, Lord, for the ministry that you have for us, Father. And Lord, we love you and we praise you, Lord, for opportunities, Lord, to share about you, Father. The things that you've brought us through, Father. The things that you've shown us, Lord, and helped us through. It seemed like endless situations, Lord God, situations that with the carnal eye, there was no way out. There was no understanding. You couldn't see anything, but through the Spirit, Lord, you brought peace. You brought rest. You brought rest assurance, Lord. And Lord, we love you and we praise you for it, Father. In the midst of it all, Lord, we praise you. We glorify you, Father. But we ask, Lord, this word tonight, Lord, Lord, minister, Lord, according to your will. And now I bring you the ultimate praise. For you alone are worthy, Father. You alone are worthy, Lord Jesus. I love you and I praise you. Precious name, amen. Here it is. Elijah is told by God to go anoint Elijah. And this man is plowing in a field. He wasn't preaching on the street corner somewheres. He wasn't holding revival or going into the ministry. This guy was plowing behind yoke oxen. You would think, well, why in the world would God call this man of anybody and anoint him to do the ministry that's got set before him? You'd think, how in the world? But with God, you just don't ask questions. You just go do. And you do what you're told to do. And everything will work out. But, you know, and Elijah didn't say anything to him. He didn't say a word to him. Elijah was still plowing the yoke of oxen. And Elijah, all he did was just brush his mantle up against him. And he kept going. He didn't go over and tap him on the shoulder and say, "Hey, God told you this is what you're supposed to do." He didn't go over and say, "Wait a minute. You don't understand the ministry that you've got here that I'm telling you about. Listen to what I'm going to say. Stop what you're doing and listen to what I'm trying to say." He didn't do that. All he did was he just brushed up against him with his mouth. And right then, Elijah realized something. There was a change. A change unaware to the natural eye. It was just like a breeze of wind outside to most people. But to Elijah, it was something. It was a change there. And as Elijah runs up to Elijah and he says, "Wait a minute. Just bid me some time that I go kiss my mother and father and take care of some small things, and then I'll be right with you." And, of course, Elijah says, "Wait a minute. Well, why are you coming after me? I didn't call you." In other words, if you're coming to follow me, you're coming for the wrong reasons. You're coming for the wrong reasons. I didn't call you. So if you're looking to me, then you've missed something. So Elijah was letting him know right off the bat that, listen, if the ministry that you've been called by God, you better seek God. You better not seek after me. At the get-go, he made it clear. Cut dry. If you're looking to me, you've missed a mark. But if you're looking to God, that's where your focus should be. Not only at the get-go, but all the way through. All the way through to the end. And so Elijah does his thing. He cleans up and burns his oxen, slays his oxen, and all the instruments pertaining to him plowing, he burned. In other words, there was nothing to go back to. This was said and done with Elijah. He knew it was time to move on with God. It was no longer plowing behind an oxen and behind other oxmen in plowing up a field and planting seeds and tearing up the ground. There was a change taking place spiritually in his life. And what had to take place was he had to burn those instruments that held his oxen and slay his ox, those ox that he went behind and fed the people, and then he moved on. In other words, he was never going to be at that place ever again, that point ever again, because God was calling him on further with him. And it wasn't because of Elijah. Because as I just said, Elijah says, "I don't know why you're here. I didn't call you here. So you just go on back and do your thing." But Elijah had to make a decision. What was going on here? What was the change that was taking place? And yet, Elijah was very young, in this ministry thing, very young. But even in that, Elijah didn't pull any punches. He didn't cut any, pull straws and whichever one, well, yeah, you're supposed to go into the ministry. He didn't do anything like that. Elijah had to make a choice to follow the ministry of Elijah. He had to make that decision on his own. Is this thing real, or is this just a windy day and Elijah was walking a little too close to him and brushed up against him? Or is this thing real? This something that touched me, that changed my direction, that changed my focus, that changed my motivation. It was no longer looking down to make sure I'm plowing a right row behind a yoke of oxen. There was something else in his spirit that was pushing him in this direction to follow after the ministry of Elijah. Now, if you would turn with me to 2 Kings chapter 2. And for clarity reasons, I'm going to read a lot of this. So bear with me, because I believe you'll get more out of it as I read this. Beginning in chapter 2, verse 1, it says, "And it came to pass when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went out with Elijah from Gilgal. And Elijah said unto Elijah, Tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Bethel. Elijah said unto him, As the Lord liveth, and as my soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they went down to Bethel. And the sons of the prophets that were at Bethel came forth to Elijah and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from the head today? And he said, Yea, I know it. Hold your peace. Well, wait a minute. What just happened? What just happened? Elijah is telling Elijah, I'm going down to Bethel, and I pray thee to stay here. He's telling him, okay, you can stay here. Everything's fine. You just stay right here at Bethel. Everything will be said and done fine. You just make up house right here. You do the ministry that you see fit, that God may be leading you to do right here at Bethel. And you'll be just as satisfied right here. As a matter of fact, I pray thee to stay here. I pray thee to stay here. An opportunity to say, well, it's okay for me to be at Bethel. It's all right for me to stop right here. Everything will be fine. Well, wait a minute. Even the prophets comes out at Bethel and says, do you not know that your master is going to be taken today? You not know that? An opportunity for fear, for worry. What am I going to do? What in the world am I going to do? If Elijah was following Elijah, the ministry was said and done. Why? Because the prophet said to him, do you not know your master is going to be taken today? Everything's over with. It's said and done. You might as well just take up camp right here at Bethel. You might as well just stay right here. Everything will be fine. We can use you right here. Be good enough right here. Elijah, everything's fine. And he said, yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. That also lets us know Elijah knew what was going on as well. Elijah knew that there was something calling him further on in this journey. The journey didn't stop right here at Bethel. I said the journey did not stop at Bethel. It went on. And Elijah knew it. Even after Elijah told him, I pray thee to stay here, there was something within him that told him, you keep pursuing. You keep pursuing on. You keep going on. And Elijah said unto Elijah, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Jericho. And he said, as the Lord liveth and as my soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they came to Jericho. Once again, Elijah is telling Elijah, you stay here. As a matter of fact, I pray thee to stay here. Elijah, everything's fine. You stay right here. The ministry that you have right here will be fine. Where you at right now in this ministry, you'll be fine. You just stay right here, Elijah. No, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they came to Jericho. And the sons of the prophets that were at Jericho came to Elijah and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he answered, yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. Once again, the same situation. The prophet's coming out and telling Elijah, hey, I'm a prophet here. Listen to what I'm saying. Your master's going to be taken. And Elijah is telling you, stick around. Stay here. I pray thee to stay here. Stop right here. Everything's good. Everything's said and done. There's no problems. We're here to serve you, Elijah. We're here. We're here. Yes, I know that my master's going to be taken. And yes, hold ye your peace. Hold your peace. because I know what's going on. It's not enough right here at Jericho. At this point in time in my life, Jericho is not the answer. Jericho is not the answer at this point in time in my life. That's what Elijah was saying. And Elijah said unto him, "Tarry, I pray thee, here, for the Lord hath sent me to Jordan. And he said, "As the Lord liveth and as my soul liveth, I will not leave thee." And they too went on. And the 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood to view afar off. And they too stood by Jordan. Once again, Elijah is telling Elijah, "You stay here because God's calling me on. God's calling me in this direction, but I'm letting you know what I'm fixing to do." And so the 50 prophets from Jericho come down with Elijah and Elijah to the river of Jordan. But it says they watch afar off. They watch afar off. The ministry that Elijah was under, Elijah, well, he served several years under his ministry. He committed himself to that ministry. He focused on God. That's the reason why he was not satisfied at Gilgal, Bethel, or Jericho. As a matter of fact, we're at the side of the river of Jordan, and there's 50 prophets from Jericho watching to see what unfolds next. And Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the water, and they were divided hither and thither, so that they too went over dry ground. And it came to pass, when they were gone over, that Elijah said unto Elijah, "Ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee." What? And Elijah said, "I pray thee, let a double portion of the Spirit be upon me." And he said, "Thus hast asked a hard thing." You have asked a hard thing, Elijah. You've asked a hard thing, Elijah. But you know, we would never be reading this today if Elijah stopped at Gilgal, Bethel, or Jericho. We would not be reading this today if Elijah was watching with the 50 prophets from Jericho afar off. Elijah would have never been asked the question, "What do you want?" If he chose to watch afar off, he never would have been asked the question, "What do you want?" In other words, what are you doing here? Why are you here, Elijah? What brought you to this point in time in your life? "Well, Elijah, all I want is a double portion of what you got. That's all I want." And in that, Elijah tells him, "Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so." It shall be so unto thee, but if not, it shall not be so. This whole time, Elijah has walked under the authority of Elijah. This whole time. And yet Elijah tells him, if you're there, it shall be so. But if you're not there, it shall not be so. But this whole time, he's been faithful under the authority of Elijah. This whole time. But there's one thing he's got to do. He had to understand it's either all the way or all the way. All the way or all the way. Not most of the way, not some of the way, not partial of the way, but all the way. Yes, there were prophets coming out telling Elijah, do you not know your master is leaving? Yes, there were opportunities for Elijah to take up camp at Gilgal, Bethel, or Jericho, or even be satisfied in the members of 50 prophets watching afar off. He was given that opportunity to watch Elijah walk on dry ground across the river of Jordan into the wilderness. He was given an opportunity, but he wasn't satisfied with that, because there was something pursuing him, of which he was pursuing. There was a drawing in him of which he was drawn to. And in that, he was asked the question, what do you want? What do you want? Have we came to a place in our own lives that we've given ourselves the opportunity to compromise? We've given ourselves the opportunity to say, yes, I'm among the cities of God. Gilgal, Bethel, Jericho, I'm among those cities. I'm among the prophets. I'm among the 50 prophets. Am I satisfied with that? Or is there a direction, still a focus of pursuing within us that drives us on to know God even more, to seek the face of God continually, and not be allowed to be compromised in our relationship with Him? That has been the whole point of the ministry, what the drive that Brother and Sister Potter has given. And that is not just to look to them, but look to God. To seek the face of God. There's been times that many members here have tried to find answers from Brother Potter. Brother and Sister Potter. Why? Because they didn't want to seek God for themselves. They were too spiritual lazy to seek the face of God themselves. And Brother Potter saw it. And he says, I'm not telling you anything. I'm not going to tell you anything. Why? Because he wanted you to hear the Father's voice and get it from him. But there was an opportunity for Brother Potter to let you stay a spiritual baby and give you that answer. And you go take that bottle and go back to your crib. You know, for all of us to go back to our crib. But yet he wanted us to grow spiritually. There's been times I've asked and wanted answers. But I had to seek God. I had to know, I had to find out from God myself, the Lord myself. That's a privilege to hear from the Lord yourself. Because when you're facing obstacles and you're facing situations, Brother Potter and Sister Potter knew that whenever that time got tough, the first thing would come to your mind is, well, that was just Brother and Sister Potter telling me that. It must have not really been from God. Or, you know, we start compromising the situation. But if we heard it from the Lord, we knew then it's time to move on. It's time to go on. And that's been a focus of this ministry that I've seen all these years I've been here, is for us to grow spiritually. Us to grow spiritually. And that because Elijah was willing to mature, he tasted of the fruit spiritually. And through that, he was able to understand and hear from God that constant pursuing, he was able to go on. He was able to move on. Why? Because his focus was on God. His focus was on God. And that's the reason why he was given the opportunity to be asked the question. But in that, it's either all or all. And I know because of the teaching we've had here, several people have walked out those doors and never returned because they didn't want to grow up spiritually. They didn't feel the need for it. So they became satisfied with Bethel and Jericho. They were satisfied with that. And all along, the Lord was wanting to know, why are you here? Why are you here? If you're in your position, is what Elijah told Elijah, if you're in your position, if you're at where you're supposed to be, you'll receive your double portion. You'll receive your double portion. And of course, as they begin to walk, Elijah and Elijah walk and talk, that the chariots, horse, fire came and split them. And a whirlwind took up Elijah. When he took up Elijah, the mantle that Elijah had fell. And Elijah caught it. And when he caught that mantle, the power wasn't in the mantle. The power wasn't because he was in the wilderness. The power was in because he was in the position of where he was supposed to be at. If he had been in Gilgal, Bethel, or Jericho, he never would have received it. He never would have received it. If he'd have been watching afar off, he never would have received the double portion. What privileges do we have today in receiving the things that God has for us? Each of us. And I mean, this is way beyond this natural hardship and suffering and going through situations and struggling through this and facing that. This goes beyond that. This goes in understanding the journey that's set before us and continue on in that and seeking the face of God. I know a lot of times that's tough to do. But as we continue in our relationship with the Lord, And the Lord blesses us and encourages us to go on with him. We're continually being changed in his presence. We may not ever see it naturally, but in the presence of the Lord, we're being changed. In his presence, we're being changed. Verse 14 says, and he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and smote the waters and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he also had smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elijah went over. And when the sons of the prophets, which were to view at Jericho, saw him, they said, the spirit of Elijah doeth rest on Elijah. And they came to meet him and bowed themselves to the ground before him. And they said unto him, behold now, there be with the servants 50 strong men. Let them go, we pray thee, and seek thy master, lest peradventure the spirit of the Lord hath taken him up and cast him upon some mountain or into some valley. And he said, ye shall not send. And of course, they continued on asking Elijah to go and try to find Elijah. And he became so ashamed at them continually asking, he says, go. So they went for 3 days trying to find Elijah. Now, these are the prophets that told Elijah, do you not know your master is going to be taken? Do you not know that? These prophets saw Elijah being taken. But yet, they couldn't believe that God had actually took Elijah. That somehow, some way, he may have been dropped off on some mountain or in some valley. They couldn't see it. They couldn't see, even though they said, when Elijah smote the river of Jordan and the waters parted hither and thither, after Elijah said, where is the spirit, Lord God, of Elijah? And he smote the waters with the mantle. And he walked across on dry ground. And they even admitted that this is the spirit of Elijah. But yet still, they wanted to go and try to find Elijah. They still had doubt. And of course, with Elijah, he knew. How did he know? Because he was in his position and he saw it. He saw it go down. He was a part of it. How many of us is willing to be a part of what God is doing? Or are we done? Are we done? Are we finished? Do we feel like we've ran our race? We've crossed that finish line and we're done. An opportunity to compromise. An opportunity to give up. Or are we willing to understand that day that God touched our life and blessed us, called us his own, and says, yes, I've chosen you. I've chosen you. I've chosen each of you to walk with me. Not to give up. Not to settle for second best. Not to seek for the opportunities to compromise. But to go on with me. You know, whenever we had moved to Tuscaloosa, and we started going to this one church in Tuscaloosa. And, of course, I was young in the Lord, and I I really didn't realize what was going on until after a couple of months. The church had actually built, per se, the church itself on a prophecy alone. And because of that, just that one prophecy, they continued on in their services and, you know, seeking God somewhat, you know, and using somewhat scriptures. And the Lord gave me an opportunity to share at that church. And as I shared, I could really see the Lord give me an opportunity in ministering to me and ministering to others. And they didn't have a Sunday night service. So I was working with the youth, and I asked the pastor if it'd be okay if youth came on Sunday night and we continued on a teaching. And we actually had song service, and then we got an opportunity to share. Well, as time unfolded, even the congregation, some of the congregation began to come on Sunday night, and the Lord was ministering. The Lord was really blessing it. And the pastor shut it down. He said that he didn't want that anymore. So I said, all right, if that's what, you know, Lord laid on your heart to do, we'll do that. And I knew the Lord was ministering, but was not going to do anything. I'm just going to do exactly what the minister wanted done. And as time went on, he ended up sharing one Sunday, and he said, you know, I can't stand it when these, I've been to college and had all this extensive training, and I try to minister the word, and then these little whippersnappers get up here and share about the things of God, and God bless it, God anoint it. And so I began to seek the Lord about it and ask the Lord's direction in it. And I had to admit it, it hurt me. But as time went on, the Lord helped me to understand it wasn't me. It was because I was wanting to continue to pursue Him. And that this so-called just willing to just stand on a prophecy or stand on a word was not just enough. There was something more, and that was seeking the face of God. Seeking God with all my heart. And so we decided to leave the church there with respect. And within a month's time, the door shut at that church. Within a month's time, the door shut. I hated to see that. But because they weren't willing to continue on in their relationship with the Lord, they were willing to compromise. And you know, we decided to go to another church and seek the Lord there. And it was like the Lord was teaching me, are you satisfied here? Is this enough? Are you satisfied? And the pastor came to me at that church and he says, listen, I want you to, they were having major conflicts at the church. And he came to me and says, listen, there are many people that think that you want to take this church, and I'm giving you the opportunity right now. I said, no, sir. I have no desire to take that church, to take your church. All I want to be is just a willing vessel. And he even asked my mother to take the church. And she says, no, I'm not going to take the church either. There again, if I was looking for a position or looking for to look spiritually prosperous, I would have took that position. But I wasn't. I wanted to do God's will. Position is nothing to me. It is being in the will of God and seeking His face. And if God has given me a ministry, then I pray that the Lord continue to lead me in that. And I pray the same thing for your lives. If the Lord's got you in a ministry and has put your finger on you about that ministry, continue on in it. Seek the Lord for wisdom and strength in that. Don't give up. Don't give in. Because that's what the enemy wants. The enemy wants you to give up. And you'll be given an opportunity. I pray thee to stay here. I pray thee to stay here. What are we going to do? Of course, Brother Potter has taught us about the author of this book, the author and finisher of our faith, the beginning and the end. And because of that, we're given an opportunity to continue on with Him. But as those opportunities at those other churches came, and I went to with one church to Quito, Ecuador, on a mission trip, and felt led of the Lord to go. And the missionary was there at the hotel, and he came down and he said, "All right, I expect everybody to be down here at 8 o'clock a.m. Well, there were two people that went back upstairs to get gifts for Joseph Casaberry, the missionary. And they came down, they were 10 minutes late to that 8 o'clock deadline. And he says, okay, I'm glad everybody's here now. First off, if I tell you to be here at 8 o'clock, I expect you to be here. He said, running a mission field here, running a mission. And this is the way the order goes. And from right off the bat, the very first time we meet the guy, he's like, I appreciate the gifts, appreciate you bringing them, but if I tell you 8 o'clock, I expect it. He made a point right then that he took his ministry seriously. He took it seriously. He appreciated the gifts that we brought, but he expected everybody to be there on time. And that stuck with me. Man, that stuck with me. And as we go out on the mission field, working with Africans from Africa that actually were slaves back in the 1700s. And they had made it civilization for themselves there in the Chota Valley of Quito, Ecuador. And they were considered as robbers, murderers, thieves, I mean, just really the outcasts of society right there. And we were given an opportunity to build a church there in Chota Valley. And as a group of us of probably 15 people, and everybody else is kind of putting stones out on the ground where we're going to pour concrete. And I kind of felt led of the Lord to go and help with the process of the mixing of the concrete. And over there, they didn't have wheelbarrows. They had, it's almost like they were carrying the Ark of the Covenant, you know, because it had handles on both ends, you know, and it had a little box, and they poured the concrete in the box, and you had two men carry it over to the area and dump it, you know. Well, the concrete mixer broke, so they weren't done. I said, all right, pitch it on the ground. We'll mix it on the ground. So, I mean, this was the opportunity to change the men from the boys because they were picks and shovels right here, and everybody else scattered. And I was like, man, this is my cup of tea. So I'm over there with a pick, you know, mixing this stuff up. And we're going at this for hours. And even one of the African guys come over and kind of touched me on the chest, and he's like, man, you know. And I asked the translator, I'm like, okay, why is this guy, you know, pushing me on my chest? He's like, man, you're stout, you're dedicated. And he says, this amazes him. And I said, well, tell him it ain't nothing but the Lord, because I went with them other guys, you know. But it was an opportunity. And the guys opened up to me. And I even wore one of the tribal cloth pants that I got in Africa. And whenever I told one of the translators, I said, listen, if you will, let these guys know that this tribal cloth is actually from Africa. And when they heard that, they teared up. And I said, oh, man, this is actual cloth from Africa. And I gave them, those particular cloth pants that I had, gave them to them. And they were so ministered by it. And we had been praying about the Lord, what would be the Lord's will in the situation going there. The Lord kind of laid on my heart, you just take one small package of clothes and stuff for your carry-on, and the other package, the big suitcase, put Spanish Bibles in it. Just load it up with Spanish Bibles. We had 50-something Spanish Bibles. Mom and Miss Tommy paid for those Spanish Bibles, and didn't even know if we really needed them or not. And we got over there to Chota Valley. The pastor, which was he was Ecuadorian, and the rest of the people were African of descent. And he said, we have been praying for Spanish Bibles. We didn't have any, and we've been praying for Spanish Bibles. And you did the Lord's will. What a privilege! What an opportunity there. And when I got on that plane to come back to the United States, Joseph Casaberry, he pulled me to the side and he said, listen, I want you to understand something. You came on a mission from God. And he walked off. It was it. And that ministered to me. It ministered to me. Just pulls me out of everybody else and says, listen, I know you came because God told you to come. And I want to give God the glory and praise for that tonight. But even in that church there, when the Lord led me to mix concrete on the ground in Chota Valley, the pastor called me one day and he says, it all started when you separated yourself from us in Quito, Ecuador. When you didn't work with us any longer, putting the bricks down on the ground, and you went over there and you mixed concrete with those guys, you separated yourself from us. And that's whenever the separation came at that particular church. Because I knew that the Lord was calling me on further in his relationship with him. Do I still love those brothers and sisters? Of course I do. There's not a day that goes by I don't see their faces. It's not a day goes by. I love them. I thank the Lord for them. But in that, was I willing to compromise? Was I willing to say, this is good enough, I'm satisfied right here? And that's in our everyday walk. That's in our everyday walk with God. Is this enough? Have we told Lord, God, I've had enough. I can't go on. This is as far as I can go. I can't pursue you anymore. This is as far as I can go. This is all the strength I have. I can't see what good I'm going to get out of this if I continue in this. You know? An opportunity to compromise. And that's what, you know, the Lord has laid on my heart. An opportunity for me to compromise. Or am I going to continue to pursue him? Continue to love his people. Above all things. Above all things, love. Love. Love changes everything with God. The love of the Lord in our lives changes a lot of things. All things, if we let him. But you know, with Elijah, he did the will of God and continued on. And he received his double portion. He received it. And he also continued on the ministry that was given to Elijah. He continued it on. And I just thank the Lord for Elijah's commitment to continue on and seeking him. And I appreciate each and every one of you allow me to continue on and share in this. I appreciate you. I thank the Lord for you. I love you. If you will, pray with me. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you, Lord, for this opportunity of sharing, Father. The thing that you laid on my heart, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for helping us continue to seek you. Not willing to compromise, Father. Not willing to surrender all because of situations or problems or something that seems chaos, but that we continue on in you to apprehend that which we are apprehended. Lord, we love you and we praise you. We give you all the honor, glory, and praise, Lord Jesus. Thank you for allowing us to go through these things, Lord, so that we have an opportunity to find you in the midst of it and give you the praise for it, Father. We love you and we praise you in your precious name. Amen.
Two things that pop into my mind with this message. Number one is this. How many times did Elisha go into the field and plow oxen? Probably a long time. In the same chapter, when God speaks to Elijah on the mountaintop, he tells him, I want you to go find Elisha, son of Shaphat. God had his eye on this young man, even though all he did was plow oxen. But he was faithful. He had a heart toward God, and God saw it. And he didn't know that day when he went out to the field, it was going to be a day just like any other day until the prophet of God came by and that anointing touched him. You never know what day that's going to be. You just have to be faithful. Amen. And number two, when he came back across the river with the mantle of Elijah on, these prophets looked up and said, different man, but same anointing. Amen. Different man wearing that robe, different man wearing that mantle, but the same anointing. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now, brother, that'll preach. Amen. God is looking for some men that are willing to wear, some men and women. He's looking for someone that's willing to walk with him all the way. Bethel means house of God. Elisha could have said, hey, man, I've done made it to the house of God now. I set up church here. Man, we'll have a great time. But he knew he hadn't gone all the way. There was something he still wanted. It was something his heart was crying out for. And he said, I'm not going to take my eyes off this guy until God makes me. Amen. And he found what he was looking for. Amen. There will always be things in our life that come along that disillusion us, that disappoint us, that discourage us. And it's all for one reason, that you won't follow all the way. Satan wants to do his best to try to get you to settle for less than the best. I preached a message a long time ago. You might remember. It was called The Enemy of the Best. And the enemy of the best is this: the good. You can always settle for something good. Or you can go on for the best. That's exactly, I believe, what the heart of God is all about. I don't want to preach this message over again. Of course, I've already preached it many, many times. it's in my book back there. But it's still alive, Timmy. It's a message that God gave me years ago, and it's still alive. Because I saw something. The word Elijah means God is God. The word Elisha means God is his salvation. You have a parallel between God and those who want his salvation. Those who want to walk in that ministry. And we know that when we see what happened in Jesus Christ, there were multitudes that started out following him until the way got hard. The book of John does not tell us about the early history of Jesus Christ. The book of John actually picks up, it has very little in the first few chapters about that, but the book of John actually picks up in the last half year of Christ's ministry. And in the sixth chapter, as early as the sixth chapter, we find that the multitude quit following Jesus. They stopped. Because Jesus said, look, you got to eat my flesh and drink my blood. In other words, you got to be partakers of what I'm partaker of. And that's something that we all must realize in our walk with God. There will be times. Oh, it's wonderful when God takes the bread and fish and feeds a multitude. It's wonderful when he heals everybody that comes by. We all love that. But following the Lord isn't always about those things. It's about the Father's will. You know, Jesus finally come to that place where he said, Lord, or Father, let this cup pass from me if possible. But nevertheless, not my will, thine be done. He knew that night in the Garden of Gethsemane, he knew he was going to the cross. But that wasn't what bothered him. He came for that. He came to die for that. The one thing that bothered the Lord more than anything was the knowledge that on the cross he would become the sin of the world. A man who never knew any sin. A man who never committed sin. A man who never thought about sinning was going to become sin on the cross. And for the first time in the existence of the eternity past or present, there was going to be a moment of time when the Father would turn his face from him. And even on the cross, he cried out, my God, my God. He knew that there would be that moment when he became a sin, that his Father couldn't look at him anymore. Where are you? Where are you, Father? He knew that moment would come. And that's what he dreaded. Not the death, but the loss of that fellowship. Even if it was only for a moment's time. But he knew again that he would rise again. Hallelujah. What would we do tonight if Jesus hadn't gone all the way? What would we do? On the cross, he said, I can call legions of angels right now. He could have, on the cross, he could have said, Father, they're not worth it. Take me to heaven. Legions of angels stood by for just one word from him. But because he loved us, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is now set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Make up your mind. I'm going all the way. Amen. Thank you, John. Good message. I believe I'll preach it one day. Do you love the Lord tonight? Are you glad you came? If you weren't blessed, I'm ashamed of you. Amen. I was blessed tonight sitting over there. Praise God. Hallelujah. See you Wednesday night. Okay? God bless you. Amen.